All right. We're talking about the hidden life of prayer. And just a short thing. Part of the growth of prayer in your life is we always begin by praying for our wish list. I need. I hurt, and it's all about us. There's nothing actually wrong with that. Part of the reason God gave us prayer was that we can communicate to him concerning the things that we're interested in. However, there is a part of praying where you grow in him, and I've entitled this, Self is Forgotten. There's a part of you in going to God that begins to have a longing for the needs of others. This turns then from a simple asking to intercession. It is going to God for others. Remember that God is love. When we receive Jesus as our Savior, he fills us with God's nature, God's love. Romans 5:5, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Shed abroad is the word that literally means poured out. So the love of God is poured into our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Holy Spirit moves into your heart actually at the time of your salvation. He indwells you. He dwells in you. Takes up residence in you. And God is love. Here the Holy Spirit is love, and he moves in. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, by following what the gospel says, you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The world's way is about self. Lust is the word, it means strong desire. And so, the world is all about, I want. Devising how to get what they want. And the Christian wakes up with God's nature in him and says, they need, and I want to pray for them. God characterized his love as forgetting self. We have the great definition of God's love in 1 Corinthians 13. In verse 4a and 5b, charity, this is the word for true Christian love, agape love, seeketh not her own. We find this illustrated in Philippians 2:3. The apostle warns them, let nothing be done through strife, that's fighting, or vain glory. Now, vain, empty, glory is boasting, self-centeredness. He says, let nothing be done with those motives, fighting, self-centeredness. But instead, in lowliness of mind, that's the humility versus pride, let each esteem other better than themselves. This concept of esteem means that you don't have to believe somebody is better than you. You don't have to demean yourself, you see. You're just going to act that way. You're going to present yourself to them as if they were better than you. You see the difference? This doesn't tear you down as a servant. Actually, it's the strong person, the wealthy person, is the one who gives, the one who says, I have enough to share. And when you learn to give, you do this. 1 Corinthians 15:31, he says, I die daily. Never quite understood that. Sounded like some symbolic mysticism. When I understood that the essence of our job is to love and even sacrifice self for others, Then I understood. Die daily. Die daily to what I want. My self-centeredness. See? Galatians 5:13b, by love, literally through love, serve, which is the word meaning to be a slave to, one another. You die daily when you say, you know, a slave doesn't get to say what he does and what he doesn't do. So when you can serve someone in love, it's an automatic yes. And that means you die daily to yourself. So, when prayer rises to its potential, self-concern is moved to second place. It's not kicked out. It's just moved down a notch. The interests of God's love fill us, sometimes nearly overwhelm us. Then prayer is most urgent and intense. Luke 10:2, therefore said he unto them, he's probably walking out through fields that need harvesting, but he says to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. And he's not talking about the fields that he's walking in, except the fields of men. He's talking about God's harvest, the pleading for souls. He says, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. This opened up to me one day when I realized that we are the laborers. I've worked in fields. And I felt like just one of the laborers. I wasn't particularly interested in how the whole harvest thing worked out. I'm just doing my job so I can get paid that day. You know. He says, I want you to adopt the motive of the owner. I want you to see the grand object. I want you to become personally involved in the work. So while you're in the, they're trying to harvest souls, pray that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Bear the burden of this harvest. Bear the burden of others. You say, well, what can I do? What does he say? Pray. Pray. Make contact with the one who can do everything. It was reported of Martin Luther that he prayed with as much reverence as if he were praying to God, and with as much boldness as if he had been speaking to a friend. This is, you're speaking to the one who is your father, the one who gave his life for you. This is your friend. Henry Martin noted in his diary that having set apart a day for fasting and humiliation, feeling bad about his sin, he began to pray for the establishment of the divine kingdom upon earth with particular mention of India. The divine kingdom of earth, the reformed people thought that the kingdom meant Christianity won the day for earth. That was what he was praying for. A noble idea, but with particular mention of India. He received greater excitement of spirit with special energy and delight in prayer than he had ever experienced. He commented, my whole soul wrestled with God. I knew not how to leave off crying to him to fulfill his promises, chiefly pleading his own glorious power. There is something about the time when you get caught up in prayer. You find your heart just taken with something. And again, you don't, the time just passes. You don't, you're not looking at your watch saying, have I prayed my 10 minutes yet or whatever. How much Central Africa owes to the prayers of David Livingstone, the great pioneer missionary, gave his life there. His journals give slight testimony to his lonely vigils, his daily and nightly intercessions. He lived and died praying for God's salvation of Africa. His sympathetic biographer recorded, and this he's talking about the prayer that he went into when he felt life going. He slipped off his cot onto his knees and died in prayer. In the act of praying, prayer offered in that reverential attitude about which he was always so particular, commending his own spirit with all his dear ones, as was his wont, into the hands of his Savior, and commending Africa, his own dear Africa, with all her woes and sins and wrongs, to the avenger of the oppressed and the redeemer of the lost. At the time that God is taking you, if you have the mind to comprehend it, Cheryl is probably talking about her dad right now to some of the nurses. He's having a bad time, showing a real decline. Do you suppose that the burden for others would be upon you more than for yourself? It was for David Livingstone. So just a few testimonies here, as well as the concept. When God fills your heart, it's the God of love, the God of concern. Any special news?